Welcome to ScotusCast, Local Governments and Antitrust Immunity Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On February 19, 2013, the Supreme Court announced its decision in FTC v. Phoebe Putney Health System, Incorporated. The question in this case was whether a government hospital authority that created a private corporation, which then acquired the only competing hospital in the county, can invoke the state action doctrine as a shield against federal antitrust laws. Under the state action doctrine, federal antitrust laws do not apply to public actions taken pursuant to a clearly articulated and affirmatively defended state policy of displacing competition. In an opinion delivered by Justice Sotomayor, the court held unanimously that the state action doctrine does not apply because the state had not clearly articulated and affirmatively expressed a policy allowing hospital authorities to make acquisitions that substantially reduce competition. The lower appellate court was reversed, and the case remanded for further proceedings. To discuss the case, we have Aaron Nielsen, who is of counsel in the Washington, D.C. office of Kirkland & Ellis. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Nielsen.
In my previous podcast, I predicted, based on oral argument, that the FTC would win this case in a narrow decision that turned primarily on the specific way Georgia law was written. On February 19th, the Supreme Court decided the case unanimously in favor of the FTC. The only question then to determine whether my prediction was correct is whether the decision was narrow. I think it was. The way this podcast is going to work is as follows. First, I'm going to give a little background on the case. Second, I'm going to discuss the decision and why I think it is a narrow one. Third, I'm going to briefly touch upon the implications of the decision going forward. And fourth, I will end with a bit of commentary on how the Supreme Court is viewed in the popular culture. First, a little background on the case. As I explained in my previous podcast, the state action doctrine is an exception to the ordinary operation of the antitrust laws, where the otherwise actionable conduct was an act of government. The immunity extends to those the state uses to accomplish its regulatory objectives. Although the state action doctrine may be seen as effectuating federalism interests, it also is interesting because it is not found in the text of the antitrust statutes. Nonetheless, as the decision in Putney clearly shows, the state action doctrine by this point is firmly established. No one is calling for either its expansion or elimination. The difficulty with the state action doctrine is thus not whether it ought to exist, that question is closed, but when it ought to be applied. The Supreme Court has said that the state action doctrine only applies where the state has, quote, clearly articulated and affirmatively expressed, end quote, a state policy to displace competition. But clearly articulated and affirmatively expressed does not mean that a state must expressly state such an intent. This isn't entirely a clear statement requirement. But the anti-competitive effect must at least be a, quote, foreseeable result, end quote, of the state policy. In Putney, the question was whether Georgia's laws regarding state hospitals satisfied the clear articulation standard. Georgia gave hospital authorities a great deal of authority to operate hospitals. That included power to acquire hospitals. In the case, a hospital district that ran a hospital acquired the only other hospital in a county. It was a 2-to-1 merger. The 11th Circuit, looking at the power granted the hospital authority, determined that it was foreseeable that hospital authorities would sometimes acquire hospitals, even when that would reduce competition in the relevant geographic area. Also, because the hospital authorities are driven by a desire to reduce health costs, one could argue it was foreseeable that they would have the power to acquire pre-existing hospitals instead of incurring the cost to build new ones, with the idea being that they would not use monopoly power in a dangerous way. The FTC petitioned for cert, and the court took the case. As I discussed in my previous podcast, oral argument suggested that the court saw this as a narrow case. Justice Breyer, for instance, was going through the fine details of the Georgia statute, looking at specific clauses and powers to see if this was enough. At one point in oral argument, Justice Ginsburg even suggested certifying the question to the Georgia Supreme Court to say what the Georgia statute means. But the overall tenor of the court was that merely giving powers like the ability to acquire hospitals as a general matter was not a clear enough statement that Georgia intended to allow its hospital authorities to acquire hospitals in specific situations where the acquisition would otherwise violate the antitrust laws. Now the decision. On February 19th, the court unanimously sided with the FTC, with not even a concurrence. Justice Sotomayor, for the court, wrote an excellent decision explaining that the general grant of corporate powers, which includes the power to acquire, is not enough to satisfy the clear articulation standard. She also faulted the 11th Circuit for applying a too loosey-goosey standard for foreseeability. Loosey-goosey is my word, not hers. Although it was foreseeable that hospital authorities would acquire hospitals, that does not mean that the Georgia legislature intended anti-competitive hospital acquisitions. Justice Sotomayor noted in a footnote that the mere fact that the hospital merger had been consummated is not enough to moot the case, because the district court has equitable powers to give some relief to the FTC. Because it found the state action doctrine did not apply because of the clear articulation requirement, the court also did not reach a thornier question of whether the particular hospital acquisition here should not receive immunity because the authority had effectively been captured by private parties and thus was improperly trying to cloak itself in state authority. The court simply did not reach that type of argument, that type of question. So the FTC clearly won, but was the decision narrow? I think so. And the fact that no one on the court filed a separate opinion at all is a pretty good indicator that the court thinks the decision is narrow too. The statement that general corporate powers are not enough to satisfy a clear articulation standard is hardly earth-shaking. Instead, it's a natural application of the whole concept of clear articulation. As the court notes, quoting Areta, the Bible of antitrust, when a state grants power to an inferior entity, it presumably grants the power to do the thing contemplated, but not to do so anti-competitively. That's hardly an avant-garde statement of antitrust law. After all, individuals have power to enter into contracts. That doesn't include the power to enter into anti-competitive contracts. The power to do something doesn't include the power to do so anti-competitively. So the court's making the point that we need a more clear articulation if the power to do includes the power to do anti-competitively. Again, that's pretty standard antitrust. Now, if there's one place where the decision may not be narrow, that is the discussion of the foreseeability test. But I think that is pretty narrow, too. If foreseeability is understood broadly, then maybe the 11th Circuit's decision makes sense. But the court didn't construe foreseeability broadly, but it didn't reject foreseeability outright either. Instead, it limited the foreseeability test to cases where the state action was inherently anti-competitive. This limitation arguably is in some tension with earlier cases, but again, it won't change the world of antitrust law in a profound way. This case isn't Trinco or one of the other huge monumental antitrust cases or anything even close to it. So what are the implications? As a doctrinal matter, this decision strikes me as narrow. There is nothing in it that is surprising. But just because it is doctrinally narrow doesn't necessarily mean it won't have important effects. The question, however, going forward will be how states have structured their hospital authorities and other similar sorts of institutions. If states have simply extended corporate powers to them, then those laws are subject to challenge on grounds that when the entity acts in an anti-competitive way, it's subject to liability under the antitrust laws. But that question will depend on the specific law of each state, potentially subject to the specific ways that the laws were phrased. You can take some of the principles applied in Putney, but in terms of just cut and paste, it's not going to work that way. You're going to have to look at every individual statutes. No doubt, however, this decision will encourage the FTC to bring more litigation. The FTC's litigation record is spotty, and this is a big win for the agency. It will make it easier for the agency to justify further litigation in this and other contexts. But again, that's because, you know, it's nice to win. The agency says, all right, now we can be a little bit more aggressive because we know that we can win. But that doesn't mean that this particular decision has doctrinally expanded the rules in a profound way. So finally, I'm going to end with a word about how the Supreme Court is portrayed. All too often, the popular culture focuses on the divisive Supreme Court cases, and the public gets the idea that the court is lawless. Cases like Putney show a very different court, a court that takes precedent seriously. No one on the court even hinted that they have misgivings about how the state action doctrine is applied. Justice Sotomayor's well-written opinion was accepted by the full court without qualification. You know, if you think about it, that is odd. The state action doctrine is far from intuitive. The reason why this court accepts the doctrine is because it is precedent, and this court takes precedent seriously. In conclusion, Putney hasn't changed antitrust law in a profound way. Justice Sotomayor's decision applied pre-existing precedent in a way that didn't upset that precedent. This case did not address broader questions about the state action doctrine, but instead took the doctrine as a given and applied it. Not every case needs to be or should be a blockbuster.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.